More clues towards solving the enduring mystery of our economy. From APM, I'm Mark Garrison in for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. From small business owners to central bankers, everyone's trying to figure out where the economy's going. Today, we have a few more niblets of data to attack that question. David Kelly joins us to help. He is Chief Global Strategist at JP Morgan Funds. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
So we have new numbers this morning about retail sales, wholesale prices. What do they tell us about where the big picture looks right now?
They all look a little bit downbeat, a lot of negative signs. But I think it's very important to recognize that the weakness that we're seeing in retail sales and also in producer prices is really all about energy prices still. I was just looking over the last year, retail sales overall are up just 2.4%, and that's not great. But if you take out gasoline stations, they're actually up 4.9%. So really what's going on is we're just spending a lot less at the gasoline stations, and that does give us money to spend elsewhere. So it's really not that weak.
And that ties into concerns that they have about persistently low inflation, both in the U.S. and also in China, where we just got a new report today. Explain what's going on and how that could all play out down the road.
Well, everybody's worried about deflation around the world, but I don't think we should be that worried about deflation that's coming from low commodity prices. After all, China is a big consumer of commodities. We're a big consumer of commodities. It actually makes consumers a bit richer when commodity prices are down. So I think it is pushing down interest rates around the world. It's causing central banks to hesitate. People are worried about deflation. But ultimately, I think these low commodity prices, these low energy prices are positive for consumers. And I think that's going to help the U.S. economy and the global economy grow a little bit faster in the months ahead.
David Kelly at JP Morgan Funds. Thanks very much.
Anytime.
Netflix reports its latest earnings numbers later today. As always, Wall Street will be watching subscriber totals. Netflix wants other eyeballs later in the week, though, when its first original theatrical release opens. Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports on what's behind the new move.
Beasts of No Nation will debut in theaters and on Netflix this Friday. The Idris Elba film marks Netflix's entry into the feature film business. Paul Verna is a media analyst at eMarketer.
I think it's a logical extension of what Netflix has already done on the TV side.
Original series like House of Cards, Orange is the New Black.
And I think now they're on the verge of really shifting the focus from a content licensing company to an original content company.
Beasts of No Nation will open in a small number of theaters around the country. Analyst Mark Mahaney from RBC Capital Markets says box office receipts aren't the play here.
It helps maybe at the margin in getting greater visibility for these titles, in getting greater Oscar attention for these titles.
Most important, he says, it's content. Content that could give people another reason to subscribe or keep subscribing. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
All the recent talk about when the Fed could raise short-term interest rates has some would-be homebuyers worrying about what that'll mean for mortgages. But of course, many Americans who already own homes have their rates locked in for decades. The 30-year fixed mortgage turns out to be largely an American thing. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports on how this help explains why America's rate of homeownership is so high compared to many other developed countries.
I've come to the leafy suburbs of Portland to meet Josh Reif, who just bought his dream home here. And just in time, interest rate-wise, I asked him to do the numbers.
$260,000.
And what's your interest rate?
3.875. I know that 5, 10, 15 years from now, it's going to seem insane.
Insane, because who knows what prevailing interest rates and inflation and wages will be in 2025, when Reif will still probably be paying 3.875%. Many buyers abroad don't have this financial certainty. Europeans tend to get mortgages that are variable rate or shorter term, like 10 or 15 years. Jacob Kierkegaard is at the Peterson Institute for International Economics.
They live with the kind of inherent uncertainty about future interest rate developments that would be, you know, hard to stomach for many Americans.
Guy Sakala at Inside Mortgage Finance says the U.S. system is set up to encourage home ownership and calmer stomachs.
It's pretty phenomenal. Nobody expects interest rates on the next 30 years to remain at 3.75%. In fact, they expect them to go up.
That future interest rate risk is taken on by investors who buy up loans in mortgage-backed securities guaranteed by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which in turn shifts financial risk away from homeowners, making ownership more affordable. Not so in Germany, where fewer people own. Tina Ziekmann is a radio journalist in her mid-50s and just bought her first place.
When you buy a house in Germany, it's not usual to sell this house after a few years and go somewhere else and buy another house. Yeah, I think this is the difference to the United States,
where homes, with their affordable, predictable, and tax-deductible mortgages, are seen by many as an investment to sell later or borrow against for education or retirement. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And finally, mergers are in the news big time this week, with billions flying around to buy up everything from beer to tech companies. The latest deal, $1.5 billion for memories of your awkward high school self. That is the price consumer products company Jarden is paying for Jostens, maker of class rings and school yearbooks. From the studios at Montclair State University today, I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.